A little FaceTime in China.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Sooner or later, this issue of trade with China's got to come to a head. It could be sooner. Three U.S. senators are headed to China next week. They want to see face-to-face how serious the Chinese are about allowing their currency to appreciate. Two of those senators, Charles Schumer of New York and South Carolina's Lindsey Graham, are sponsoring a bill that would punish the Chinese with high tariffs. Jocelyn Ford has more from Beijing.
The senators say at the current exchange rate, Chinese products have an unfair trade advantage. They believe China's currency needs to be about 30% higher. Their bill would impose almost that much in tariffs on all Chinese products. Senator Graham says he'll postpone a vote later this month, only if he's convinced China is serious about letting its currency rise. Many economists, however, disagree with the senator's logic. Stephen Green is senior economist at Standard Chartered Bank.
I also question the assumption that even if it was appreciated by 30%, it would make any difference to the U.S.-China trade deficit.
China's products are just too cheap, and the U.S. doesn't manufacture much anymore. But there are signs China is taking steps to address some of Washington's grievances. Yesterday, the yuan made its biggest gain against the dollar since China allowed the exchange rate to fluctuate last July. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Ever since the Janet Jackson breast incident at the Super Bowl, we've been hearing about an FCC crackdown on indecency. Perhaps it just arrived. Yesterday, the FCC issued nearly $4 million in new fines. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
CBS stations will pay out more than $3.5 million for airing sexually explicit scenes on the program without a trace. That's in addition to $550,000 for that infamous Janet Jackson incident. The WB and NBC were also penalized. Many stations are expected to appeal, but Matthew Felling with the Center for Media and Public Affairs says the FCC is just getting started.
We are most likely feeling the first drops of an oncoming storm.
Felling says FCC crackdowns on network programming will give cable shows a leg up as American eyeballs gravitate towards edgier TV like ABC's Desperate Housewives or HBO's Sopranos.
We're going to see Desperate Housewives slightly defanged, which only goes to further Tony Soprano's edge.
That edge may not last. The FCC is expected to set its sights on cable channels soon. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
CVS is getting tough on tobacco sales to minors. The drugstore chain got busted in a sting. Now it's reached a deal with 42 states and the District of Columbia. Anyone who looks younger than 27 will have to show ID, and CVS will no longer sell them at self-service displays. A lot of college basketball fans will be watching TV on their computers at work today. It's the start of the NCAA tournament. This is actually a serious productivity problem for a lot of companies. That's why one Washington, D.C. firm has decided to block its employees from watching the games. The corporate executive board will disable access to the web broadcasts. The company's not only worried about the distraction, but also slowing down its computer network. I wonder how many folks will call in sick today. A two-day rally for Wall Street. The Dow climbed 58 points, the Nasdaq finished 15 points higher, and the S&P 500 was up 5 to 1303. This is Marketplace. A lot of company computer networks could be bogged down today with people watching NCAA basketball. That's because CBS is offering all the games in real time on the web for free. Tess Figlin reports.
Last year, if you wanted to see the NCAA tournament online, you had to pay $19.95. 1 year later, you can watch for free with commercials. Stacey Kramer of paidcontent.org credits the expansion of broadband to handle the downloads and advertisers realizing consumers will watch those commercials.
There's more content that you can access without paying for it now than there has been in a long time. And what's even more interesting is a lot of the same companies doing both.
In fact, CBS announced this week that the games would be available for a fee on iTunes, while available for free on its own website. Either way, you'll have to tune in early to see the games online. The final rounds are only available on old-fashioned TV. In Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic. Alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation. Helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Warner Home Video, presenting Good Night and Good Luck, a film that looks at our freedoms under attack, starring George Clooney and David Strathairn, on DVD March 14th.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. All the signs and tea leaves suggest the housing market is finally cooling off. But what about the renter's market? Personal finance expert Chris Farrell joins us now. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Just a check of the classifieds here in L.A., it looks to me like rents are going up pretty fast. Is that the case around the country?
That is the case around the country. Now, what is true is in certain markets, particularly the bubble cities, you live in one of them, by the way, I have to tell you that, Scott, just in case you weren't aware.
Yeah, I know.
And there's San Francisco and New York. At the high end of the rental market, there's a pretty high vacancy rate. And if you're looking at a rental versus a home, there's a great deal of attraction toward renting at this particular time. Nevertheless, over the past couple of years, there has been an increase in rental prices, and that largely reflects increases in land costs. And so therefore, the owners, the developers, the rental landlords, they need to pass on some of those costs.
So a record number of Americans now own their homes. It stands to reason, then, the number of people renting is shrinking, yes?
Well, that's what I thought. And then the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University came out with its report, America's Rental Housing. And what it turns out is no. The number of renters has remained fairly stable. If it wasn't for one factor, okay, the number of renters would have declined between 1993 and 2003, the latest data that we have, by about 5%. But because of immigration, this wave of immigration that has been coming to the shores of this country, the number of renters has remained around 34 million households, about a third of the American households rent. And yet, if you listen to our discussion about the housing market, it's home ownership, home ownership, home ownership. That's what we've been promoting. We have tax breaks, but I think we have neglected the rental market.
So what's the downside of neglecting the rental market? I mean, what is the fallout of that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. The problems are concentrated in the low-income side of the market. Among the low-income renters, about 70% of them are paying more than 50% of their income in rent. And we've had a policy of neglecting affordable housing. There is a substandard stock of rental housing out there. It's highly concentrated among low-income renters, and that's where we need to be doing more work. And we could be doing things like loosening up restrictions, land restrictions in a lot of suburban areas. Very controversial, but the fact of the matter is, as metropolitan areas develop and the links between cities and suburbs become stronger and a lot of job growth is in the suburbs, there needs to be changes in land use in the suburban areas.
Okay, Chris, good stuff. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Personal finance expert Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
His grandfather sang your...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.